order the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. Thank everybody for being here. And the order on the posted outside had listed that we were going to do Senate Bill 134A first, but because a couple of things that we do here with regard to people who have to work in the building and get back and forth, we are moving to go to the public hearing on 823 first, and then we'll move back. So with that, I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 823A, and we'll have a short explanation by our administrator, and then we have some legislators that can speak. So Representative Bonamici wants to come up.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 823A would define the Oregon Trail and prohibit a public body from approving an application for development within 100 feet of the trail. There is no revenue or fiscal impact and no subsequent referral.
With that, we'll let Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. Members of the committee, my name is Suzanne Bonamici. I represent House District 34, which is in Washington County. And I worked with my constituent, Stafford Hazlett, and with Senator Avakian on Senate Bill 823. Colleagues, it was very interesting on my commute on the way to Salem this morning. I had the radio on, and I learned that it was exactly 164 years ago today, May 22nd. In 1843, that the Great Migration along the Oregon Trail began. Starting in Independence, Missouri, as many as 120 wagons carrying 900 people with more than 1,000 head of livestock left for Oregon. The brave men and women that began carving the Oregon Trail define the spirit and culture of our state. The Oregon Trail Protection Act will serve to honor their legacy and contributions by creating a buffer on either side of the historic trail. In 1978, the U.S. Congress designated the Oregon Trail Ruts as the Oregon National Historic Trail. This act of Congress protects destruction of the trail on federal land. A majority of the trail, however, is not on federal land. Senate Bill 823A garnered bipartisan support in the Senate, receiving a do-pass recommendation from the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and the bill passed on the Senate floor with 23 aye votes. The act will prohibit cities and counties from issuing construction and remodeling permits within 100 feet of the trail. And there are other people here who are going to testify about the bill, including Mr. Hazlett. One of the things I want to mention that's not in my written testimony, I'm here to introduce the bill, is that it's my understanding that since this bill passed in the Senate, there's been a significant amount of interest and concern about the bill. And I want to state for the record that the sponsors of the bill are willing to work on amendments. There's a lot of potential here to preserve the Oregon Trail. How we do that is something that that can be worked out. So thank you very much for hearing this bill. I'm happy to entertain your questions. However, there may be other people who here who are more able to answer specifics about the Oregon Trail than myself.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members, State Senator Brad Avakian, District 17, Chair of the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee.
Jason Atkinson, State Senator, representing Southern Oregon, Vice Chair of the same committee.
Senator Atkinson and I not only helped shepherd this bill through the committee and through the Senate, we're the co-sponsors of the bill, and we just can't understand what happened over here. You see, because, you know, on the Senate side, this thing just flew through the committee. It flew through the Senate floor. Nobody even came to the hearing. Look at this.
Can we answer that?
I don't know who invited these guys to the hearing today, but we are very pleased to give the bill to you and have you continue looking at the good work that we produce and the good start that we got for you on the Senate side. Senator Atkinson?
Well, you know, the choice for us this afternoon was either to begin our committee on time or come here and advocate for one of my favorite particular little bills. And the choice was pretty clear. It'd be more fun to heckle the House members than it would be to start our own bill on your bills.
And that was unanimous, by the way.
That was unanimous.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to put on the record, I am certain that there is no utility that wants to pave over the remaining Oregon Trail. And I'm certain there is no city that wants to destroy the remaining Oregon Trail. And for that matter, I don't think there's a county that would want to destroy the Oregon Trail. I don't know if there's a citizen that would want to destroy the Oregon Trail. And I don't think, I don't even know if this applies to railroads. I think that's been kind of up in the air a little bit. But I don't think there's a railroad that would want to destroy the national landmark that is the Oregon Trail. And so I just wanted to come, Mr. Chair, and add my good assurances to the 27,000 amendments that I think you're about to hear on this bill. And I would hope that there's no lobbying organization that would fear the humbleness and the openness towards good public policy that is the Oregon Senate, and would not have those amendments ready and hope to try to execute this bill over here. I'm sure that's not the case either. So I just wanted to come and add some support to a great bill to leave Oregon a little bit better than we found it.
And you actually do have a tough task ahead of you. There were a lot of good ideas that came up on this side, a lot of amendments for you to look at. The truth remains that parts of the trail are in jeopardy, and are in jeopardy relatively soon if we don't pass some type of a protection for the bill. If you're able to come to some resolution on this thing, I think would be a great thing for the state.
Mild rhetorical questions aside, Mr. Chair, I actually think we can get to some compromise on some of the issues that have been brought up are legitimate, and we can probably hammer those out. But it's kind of fun for us, and I think this is a bill that by the time you reach compromise, this committee will be very proud of it.
Any questions?
With the exception of Boquist, he only wants to save part of the trail. You're going to make us choose.
Representative Boquist.
Well, Senator, you're exactly right, because your colleague next to you said the remaining portion. So the intent here is to identify those portions that we know where it's at, that there are still ruts and things like that that we can preserve. Am I correct? That's kind of the intent here in identifying this.
Well, the intent is partially what you make it, and partially what we made it. I mean, the trail is composed of the corridor, of the visible traces that remain on the ground, of the scenes that you can see, the mountains and such that are described in diaries at the time that you can still witness today. All these things are a part of the Oregon Trail. To what degree you choose to save or not save pieces of that history is on your shoulders now. And we gave you a bill that we think at least gets that started. Certainly the 1959 map is the best and only authorized map, I think. Stafford Hazlett will give you some information about that, and so will the agency folks. But that map is the place where you ought to start in deciding, I think, what you're going to save and what you're not.
Mr. Chair, Representative, just to add on to that, I think it is interesting to note, and take a look at that map. It's the only thing we're working off of from 1959, and we really don't know. And in fact, the next person to testify is far more the expert than both of us, but we really don't know where we're able to set the preservation into place. But what we have done successfully is open the debate whether or not it's worth protecting or not, and if it is, where do we set the parameters, which is before you. I will say, though, that this map, which I find completely fascinating, on the Senate floor for the floor debate, we actually put it all together into one piece, and I think it was 25 feet long. And if this bill would be so kind as to get past this committee, you can have mine for the floor debate. It's really fascinating to watch all members of the body come and look at a map and try to figure out who knows where, what, when, and how as relates to 1959 versus 2007.
Yes, Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. And I don't want to keep you from your committee and passing
good
bill that we've sent over your way. I'm assuming we're going to hear from the Park Service or from the Parks Department, but was there testimony in your committee about the role that SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, plays? And typically on any project, an archaeological type of survey, if it's in a historical area, has to take place. And I'm just somewhat perplexed that this wouldn't be already protected or identified as, as a historical element as part of our State Historical Planning Office database.
Well, Everybody agreed with the bill on our side. You are a much more intimidating group than us, I suppose. I think the answer you're going to find is that there is not a lot of good current information. There hasn't been the funding available in order to update the maps of the trail, and that there really is nothing that preserves and protects the trail by statute. Yeah. I think is the answer you're going to get.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The two senators, you said in your testimony that they were about ready to do something on the Oregon Trail. Can you give me an example of that?
I can give you some examples, but you need to take it not by way of criticism, because it isn't. But there are currently plans, which are good plans, to instill wind farms and possibly transmission lines in certain counties in eastern Oregon, which is a good thing. It's helping some of the farmers out there. It's helping the counties out there. Buys right into the renewable energy that we're working on. But some of the prime corridors, in order to place those, run adjacent to the trail. And so all we want to, and I must say that PacifiCorps and PGE have been very cooperative in discussions about this bill, have thus far been very responsible in how they've approached doing their building along those corridors. But it just highlighted the issue to us that if there were somebody that was not so careful, that the trail would be in jeopardy. And those contracts and plans for construction are occurring now.
To add on to that, Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, I think there's some maintenance issues that come to some existing railroad tracks, and I know someone else will from the industry will come up and speak, and that was not our intent at all. I mean, certainly there's railroad tracks there that are going through this area already that need to be maintained, and certainly that's part of it. But some of the different issues that come up as you get closer, and some of the debate that we're having here as you get closer to Oregon City, which is historically the end of the trail, are exactly what we have in one of our murals in the Rotunda, where you have people at the dalles taking the wheels off the wagons and floating them down the river, and fewer numbers taking them around on what became the Joel Palmer Trail, I believe, or the Barlow Trail. And so you've got different issues there where we have to say as a state, which is us, a legislative branch, what is the policy regarding protecting what is left of the Oregon Trail.
Other questions? I guess I have one, and that is if we make a little work group to put all this together, I'm sure that all three of you would be interested in spending some time the next week and a half, since we only have a week and 2 days before the we can no longer hear these bills.
We would be happy to cooperate with the House in any way we can, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Both of us.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Apparently I agree.
Okay.
Don't look like you're biting your lip there.
Representative
Dolan? Thank you very much. I have, Mr. Chair, Tammy Denny and Gene Parker that I'd like to ask to join me.
Okay.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Representative John Dolan, House District 59, I'm going to change the name of my district to Home of the Oregon Trail. It is with a great sigh of relief that I heard testimony from the two senators and from my colleague, Representative Bonamici, in that they are interested in some amendments. I would very much like to be a part of that work group. I took a very, very quick trip home this morning. The concern in my district from people that live along the trail is great. I spoke with Bill Johnson, whose job it is to preserve the trail, and he told me that he wants to help. There are rut marks in Washoe County, Sherman County for sure, maybe even Gillum County. I don't know whether they are or they aren't, but I do know there are in Sherman and Washoe. Bill lives just out of the Dalles, and you're going to get a map. I brought a map, but Tammy did a much nicer job, so I'm going to use her map when the time comes. But I want to assure you that Bill Johnson wants to help. The nine people that collected around me this morning that have evidence of the trail all want to help. They want to preserve the trail. They want to talk about this 100 feet. Bill's house is right on the trail. And if we talk about 100 feet, if it's even if it's up, it affects Bill. He has grave concerns about what this will do to him. And I can assure you that his concern is preservation. We're also concerned, and we have heard since, in fact, Gene Parker is the attorney for the City of the Dalles. We've heard of an amendment, and the number -1602 was used. We'd like to see the amendment, and I think that Gene's going to give his testimony anyway. Echo, Pendleton, the Dalles are all involved. We like to say at the Dalles that is the end of the Oregon Trail. The legislature, this body, moved the end of the Oregon Trail to Oregon City. Major decisions were made in our community, and if you come to my office, the picture on the wall is decision at the Dalles. You went one way or the other. I'd also like to tell you a little bit of, in the room, and I won't have to testify for him, as Judge Thompson made a trip over from Sherman County to visit with me. He's concerned about wind development. And I must say, out of Representative Dingfelder's committee is coming the most exciting thing to happen to our counties in a long time, biofuel. I was there this morning for that also. If not beat by, the next most exciting thing is wind energy. And when you talk about inhibiting wind energy, you're talking about diminishing one of the few bright spots we've had in a long time. I included a letter from Sky Krebs. Sky lives at Cecil, Oregon. And you'll be able to find Cecil on the map. Go to Arlington, south and a little bit east. Cecil was a camping spot on the trail. Sky tells you in the letter that I submitted, he can't do anything. He can't rewire. It's not a matter of reallocating his property to some other venture. It's a matter of maintaining it where it is. He feels as though he's in imminent danger, but he also would like very much to help preserve the trail. Now that I know there's a work group, I'm going to modify my testimony a little, ask that I serve on it, and I'm sure that we can bring you something that will make the Senate bill 823 much more palatable to those of us that live on the trail. I'm not so sure it doesn't go through my yard in my house, so we're very interested. With that, I'll give you over to two people that know a lot more than I do, and I will stay so I can hear them and for questions if you have them.
Chair Roble and members of the committee. My name is Gene Parker. I serve as the city attorney for the City of the Dalles. I appreciate your opportunity to allow me to present some brief comments for you. Representative Dalem, I think, indicated there is a map that was included with the testimony, and you'll note that the map refers to visible portions of the trail and the recorded route of the trail. The concern the city has is that there's really no scale on this map. There's no points of reference, and I think Senator Atkinson mentioned that we don't really know where the existing trail really is, so it's hard to know what the impact of this legislation would be on actual or proposed development. The Dalles has to deal with another boundary called the National Scenic Area, and our experience has been that when the boundary is not precisely defined, it can create a lot of confusion, a lot of anxiety about land use matters and development issues. And our concern here, again, is that we don't know where the trail may actually be and how it could impact our development. Representative Dalem has touched on that Oregon City was officially designated as the end of the Oregon Trail, and yet the maps here stop at the Dalles, so we aren't apparently talking about Oregon City and what its role might be on the trail. Our primary concern is that the map, as it's shown, appears to show that the route goes through a major portion of our commercial area and our port industrial area. The language that would prevent us from being able to approve an application for development approval to change a present use which would include construction or remodeling of structures within 100 feet of the trail, would effectively stop development in our city and in our port industrial area. Our city's seen significant commercial and industrial growth recently in the port industrial area. We currently have plans to demolish our existing aluminum plant, and it appears that this map shows that that area is within the 100 feet zone. And if that were the case, we couldn't allow that property to be redeveloped, and that could be a devastating impact upon our city. We see that as our last major source of industrial land to develop. The city also has concerns that this bill has the potential to raise issues related to possible Measure 37 issues or inverse condemnation, that if we get put in the position of having to deny applications for development, we could face significant claims from property owners who want to try to develop their property. The city has some concern about why the Oregon Trail is being designated at this time, and we aren't talking about the Applegate Trail or the Barlow Road, which certainly are as significant or much more so. Representative Dowling has touched upon that there apparently is an amendment to exempt the cities, and certainly the city would ask that there be language in the bill that would exempt our city and other cities in our urban growth boundary. We're currently in the process of trying to apply to expand that, and so we'd like to see that kind of language that would make it clear that our urban area wouldn't be affected by the bill.
Thank you.
Representative Rogland, members of the committee, I am a native of the Dalles and grew up there and graduated high school in the Dalles. I'm not here as an official in the official capacity today. I'm here as the executive director of the Oregon Wheat Growers League. I have members of the league and board members who will testify on behalf of the league, but am sitting at the table today at the request of Representative Dallum and do support the position that's been represented thus far. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for these?
Since I have Representative Dallum over here right where I want him for once. I just, for my own information, Cecil is southeast of Arlington?
Yes.
Okay, now, did you know that there's a little ghost town named Clem, Oregon, just north of Cecil? Did you have anything to do with extincting it?
No.
I've been looking.
Well,
I don't know.
We're a trail representative.
It might be on the trail. I don't know.
There was some development about 1867 Wheatfield, and that was the end of Clem.
All right. That's all I got. I have some questions about the bill, but I'll save those till after I hear all the public testimony. I think.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome. And now I'll have Stafford Hazleton.
Is he on the list? Thank you, Representative Roble, and members of the committee. I hope perhaps I can reduce the blood pressure in this room. Let me begin. I don't represent anyone else. I am here strictly as a private citizen. And I'm already on record in writing with PGE, with the State Historic Preservation Office, and I think PPM has a copy, that I am not opposed to the windmills. But on the packet that you have from me, you have a photograph, mm-hmm. The top photograph is taken on the Barlow Cutoff Trail. This is a place, the Barlow Road, cut off from the Oregon Trail in 1848, and it's designated by the state of Oregon as a special historic trail. And as this bill is written at the moment, with the 200-foot-wide corridor, nothing would change in that picture. If the bill as written at the moment had been in effect at the time, we might have lost one windmill, the one that is directly in front of Mount Hood, and we might have lost the second windmill. The corridor that's involved is considerably narrower than the spread of the windmills as they're being placed. There is no need for the committee or the legislature to consider a bill that recognizes the value and significance of the Oregon Trail, because that was already done in ORS 358-057. And the Oregon Historical Society was assigned to develop a comprehensive plan for the development of the Oregon Trail as a major historical attraction in this state. But shortly after that assignment, this legislature and governor decided to reduce funding for the Oregon Historical Society, so they have not followed up on the comprehensive plan for development. The Economic and Community Development Department, according to ORS 358-055, shall promote the Oregon Trail as a major tourist attraction, including preparation and distribution of maps. There are lots of maps of the Oregon Trail. The one that is in front of you on your desks represents more than 2 years of work by the Oregon State Highway Department to document the locations and the present condition of the Oregon Trail in the 1950s in preparation for the Oregon Statehood Centennial Celebration in 1959. This work was done by engineers. These were not hobbyists. They put a very serious effort into it, and it's well documented in the records that go with the map that's spread in front of you. The Highway Department has and had such a strong feeling for the work of the early pioneer road builders that they continued to work to mark the Oregon Trail in Oregon, where it crosses later public roadways. Most of those markings have disappeared for one reason or another. In 1971, Oregon took advantage of funds that were available from the federal government for the U.S. Bicentennial for 1976 and obtained funds for an aerial photography survey of the Oregon Trail in Oregon. Nearly 2,000 photographs taken from a low-flying airplane to an incredibly detailed standard documented the locations of the Oregon Trail using the 1959 map that you have in front of you as their guide for where to fly. Those photographs are in the possession of the State Historic Preservation Office, and they granted me permission to have access to those photographs, scan the photographs, and the University of Utah, acting under a grant from the National Park Service, has produced a unified record of the location of the Oregon Trail as documented from the air in 1971, such that the State Historic Preservation Office will have the finest, at the moment, possible record of the appearance of the Oregon Trail as of 1971, documented and annotated. Which brings me to the State Historic Preservation Office. As Representative Dingfelder brought up, shouldn't the State Historic Preservation Office have some authority to protect the Oregon Trail from development? I agree with Representative Dingfelder, and that's why we're here. Because at the moment, the statute goes no farther than recognizing the value and the significance of the Oregon Trail. It does not authorize the State Historic Preservation Office to do anything other than receive and concur or not concur with reports by other investigators and surveyors as to the condition of the trail on public lands. There is no authority for the State Historic Preservation Officer to require anyone to protect or preserve the remains of the Oregon Trail. That's how I got into this. At some point, a citizen thinks we ought to do something about something and eventually figures out who his or her representative and senator are and says, can we do something about this? I got started because that picture on the front and the second picture, which is the second picture in your packet, that is the Oregon Trail. The Oregon Trail runs right through the middle of that photograph. It's documented by at least four diaries of people who wrote while they were climbing up out of the John Day River onto the plateau about the magnificent view of Mount Hood. And that's in your materials. According to one of the guides, he was representing that that Mount Hood was 16,000 feet high. And of course, if you see it from out there on a clear, cold morning, we don't have very many clear days in Oregon anymore with a variety of things that have happened to our air, but it looks like it rises up above the ground and floats in the air, and you could easily believe it's 16,000 feet high. In 1982, the Oregon-California Trails Association was founded as a result of the destruction of the Oregon Trail remains around 1980, and I think, I forget where the echo map is, I think that's with Representative Smith.
No, Representative Roblin,
you have the echo map. You see the large dots to the right of the town of Echo. In 1959, there were visible remains of the Oregon Trail there. And there are still some, but there is one short patch that was plowed up. And a man named Gregory Francois, who had been involved in mapping the Oregon Trail for the National Park Service in the 1970s, heard about this, came out and looked at it, called some friends, and founded the Oregon-California Trails Association in 1982 at Denver. I do not represent the Oregon-California Trails Association. I'm here telling you about somebody else who got interested in the Oregon Trail because of some destruction that occurred. You have in there a letter from Mr. Francois. He's been in contact with me, and he's interested in preserving and protecting the Oregon Trail still. And there's an article from the Oregonian from the first convention of the Oregon National Convention of the Oregon California Trails Association, which occurred here in Oregon. Every summer, the Oregon California Trails Association brings tour buses of people across the United States to see and experience the Oregon Trail, and many of them use, a book written by a Pendleton teacher named Keith May called Finding the Trail in Oregon. This is an inexpensive and excellent guide for anyone who wants to see the Oregon Trail in Oregon. It's much handier to carry than that big roll of maps. I'd like to conclude with... there's some concern about how the impact on the cities, and because I'm focused on you, I can't tell if Linda Ludwig is behind me from the League of Oregon Cities.
She had to leave for a while, but she'll be back.
Okay. I do know, I have seen the proposed amendments. They would provide to the cities discretionary review of the Oregon Trail within the cities, and I'm sure there is no problem with that. We expressed that at the Senate committee hearing that the cities could be exempt if they want, or if they choose discretionary review, that makes a great deal of sense to me also. Now, I would like to conclude. Governor Kulongoski was speaking about Oregon's cultural and historic heritage and said, "Not many people travel the Oregon Trail anymore." Well, I beg to differ. I think if he saw Interstate 84 in the summertime or traveled, that's the core route of US 30, which was deliberately laid out on the Oregon Trail as nearly as it was safe and convenient to lay it out. There's still plenty of people who are coming to Oregon and over the Oregon Trail. And then he continued, but Oregon's cultural heritage still draws millions of visitors to our state every year. It also builds community pride and helps connect one generation of Oregonians to the next. We cannot afford to lose that heritage. And I hope we don't as we come into the Oregon 150-year sesquicentennial of statehood celebration. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have if I can.
Any questions? Just to pick up on, you know, I think as a young student in the state, my daughter, one of the projects they had in elementary school was to read some of the diaries and then write their own diaries as they were coming. And I came to the conclusion that a lot of the Oregon Trail is the perception and how we hold the idea of the Oregon Trail. I mean, I think mm-hmm. the other parts of this are something we have to look at, but it is the idea of the Oregon Trail and these people making these ventures mm-hmm. here that gives us courage as much as it is the actual place. It is this vision of it. And I was happy to see Professor Stephen Del Beckham's issues here, another Coos Bay kid that grew up in Coos Bay,
yes.
is now a professor and doing some of this stuff. And I really like seeing the diaries and those kind of things, because I think not everybody's going to get to go visit these places, but everybody can understand what the vision of the Oregon Trail is. So,
indeed.
Thank you.
If I might take another minute, there was something that I started to touch on and changed the subject on myself. There is an effort at the moment. The National Park Service has funded two projects, of which I am the chair and administrator, to redocument the locations and condition of the Oregon Trail simply so that we do know we are in the right place, that we are not just casting about to any place that somebody thinks might be likely, but that we are truly identifying and preserving the real thing and not casting our net wider than is necessary.
I do want to ask you one question. This is not what we would call softball. So you've talked about how we should preserve the Oregon Trail, and as I read this, it's going to be clearly required that we as a state are going to have to do it, because every single person who owns property prior to the adoption of this bill, if it were to go that way, is going to be eligible for a Measure 37 claim on this. So we are going to have to compensate for this 100 feet, and I just wonder if you have any idea on what would be a good way to get that money together to pay for this compensation.
Because I'm aware of a few of the suggested amendments at this point, I have a feeling that the Measure 37 issue will be dealt with in the amendments, and rather than speculate on how to raise billions of dollars, there's no question in my mind about the serious impact and also the rapidity with which this is going to impact on the 8 counties who are on the Oregon Trail. And I'm not sure if any of them are losing their federal ONC lands. I know that there are other counties who have had a similar destruction of their tax base by losing the ONC lands, and the development activities that are going to be completed and in place by 2009 are going to have a giant impact, a positive impact, something wonderful for the folks who live in Malheur, Baker, Union, Umatilla, Morrow, Gillam, Sherman, and Wasco counties, that will fund their schools, fund their police, build their roads, improve their hospitals, and the other side of this is we've recognized that the Oregon Trail is a treasure. One of the witnesses at the Senate called it a pearl. And how do we treat something if we think it's a treasure and how do we fairly protect our citizens? I'm the other side of this is we created our own problem. When I say we, I mean the state of Oregon, when we sold this land to the grandparents of the people who are sitting behind me. And I heard Mr. Krebs' name mentioned. Mr. Krebs, I don't think there is a more staunch defender of the Oregon Trail across his land than Mr. Krebs. He has been fierce. And there's the landowner at the crossing of the John Day River. He threatens to call the sheriff and have people locked up for trespassing if they go in the area where the Oregon Trail is. And I don't know how we can balance these, but there's the work group. I think there are ways we could do this, that we can be fair, that we can protect what is a special treasure. As one man put it to me, you know why they call it the Oregon Trail? Because it's here. It's not the Nevada Trail. It's not the Idaho Trail. It's not the Wyoming Trail. They were coming here, and this is Eden. It was, and it still is.
Thank you very much. We have a lot of people who want to testify. And because of that, we're going to try to limit testimony at this point. And we try to go back and forth, those in favor, those opposed. And all we have are those people who are opposed. So we won't go back and forth. And we also, I guess we have a neutral or two. And we do have a number of people who are over 100 miles. And our customary practice is those people go first. So given that, we will invite Della Heidemann, Deacon Heidemann, and Lauren Heidemann up first. And I hope, since they came early to get my name, I hope I didn't do too bad to their names.
Stephen down back in the Anna back in the, they went to very long short.
Thank you.
Stephen down.
I'd like to look at the other section if they have a trade bus for. Such different segments. I'd like to take a look and see what it looks like in different places. That was number one there.
Oh, okay. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Della Heidemann, and this is all new to me. So if my voice breaks, even though I'm told that I love to talk too much, it's because I'm as intimidated as the next person who's never done this before. I have turned in testimony for your review, which is obviously not going to, you know, be able to be read into any, you know, record, because it would take me 20 minutes to read it. And there's so much in it that I really hope you'll take time to read. I and my husband Lauren here and our son Deacon live near Cecil, near Ione. In fact, Clint and Sky Krebs are our nearest neighbors. And I live on the Oregon Trail. I represent our interests in Four Mile Land Company and our farming operation, Heidemann Brothers Farms. And we are opposed to Senate Bill 823. We are landowners, private landowners on the Oregon Trail, right on the trail. But there is no evidence of that trail except on a map. What you see is a modern farming operation. The Oregon Trail was a road. It was a road that provided an opportunity for progress. While Senate Bill 823 attempts to honor the trail, I do not feel it honors the spirit of progress that the immigrants were struggling to achieve. This bill limits our progress, both individually and as a state. I don't think the immigrants would have appreciated being limited in progress.
Oregon prides itself on care and concern for the environment, and we are on the cusp of becoming a national leader in the areas of wind-generated green power. This progress is compatible with Oregon's history of environmental leadership. Senate Bill 823, as it is written right now, A, engrossed, available on the Internet, is unfair. It's heavy-handed, and it's just plain wrong. And I would encourage you, don't let it go on. And I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. And you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
I just want to let you know there's a lot of people who come and testify regularly. They don't keep themselves to that tight a schedule. So I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have the other? Yes.
There was one point in a prior testimony where you will note that in the photograph, apparently, I haven't seen the photograph. However, he had mentioned that it would eliminate one tower, possibly two. With this Senate bill, keep in mind that it eliminates any underground or overhead power line. So you are not just eliminating a single tower or the benefits of a single tower. You're eliminating everything north or south, whichever the direction of that energy be flowing. You eliminate every tower on one side or the other. So,
Thank you. Anything to add?
Just I think the solution to the problem is that you already have law on the books to protect the kiosks, the markings, and everything that are scattered around the area. I fail to see the emergency issue of this particular bill to proceed.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next we have Tim Holtz, Gary Thompson, and Jerry, is it Rittman? Do we have Jerry?
Yeah.
And again, as long as you can kind of keep it narrow. If you have any written testimony, we'd love to have it, but otherwise.
You should have.
Okay.
A copy of my testimony.
Yeah.
My name is Tim Holtz. I'm here representing the Oregon Wheat Growers League. The league's a coalition of farmers, 4,000 wheat farmers in the state. We bring more than $185 million into Oregon's economy. We're opposed to Senate Bill 823A. It really causes our operation to be impacted because we can't do anything on the Oregon Trail. It basically splits the, draws a line through the state, a line which you can't see. Probably the best way to talk about this is my own farm. Attached or with the paperclip to the deal is a map. I've blown up the regions that are the areas that I actually farm. I farm east of where Krebs' place is at Cecil. It's the pink page. As you can see, it shows the trail going across the farm there. And if you flip over to the next page, I actually get a map quest to show an actual picture of the farm, an aerial photograph. You can't see it. And when you're on the ground, you can't see it either. So it makes really no sense to preserve something that's not there. I can't see the reason for writing a law that prohibits any development on something you can't see. I also own another piece of property. Well, it's south of Arlington, right next to the Lean Juniper Wind Project. It shows there these dots on here. The little ones are where you can't see the trail in 1959. The big ones where you can see the trail. And it shows big dots right across my farm there that you can see the trail. But if you flip over the next couple pages there, you'll see that it's not there anymore. So the 1959 map's obviously out of date and needs to be revisited. There's also in that area, I have an industrial zone in that area. And it's, I don't know what the value is for sure. We've had an appraisal of $10,000 an acre. If it goes back to farmland and we can't develop it, that land's worth at the most probably $400 an acre. So there's a major economic impact there for me. I don't know, the 1 meter 37 would cover that or not, but I would assume it would. So I'd say that'd be a huge economic impact on the state, contrary to what they said, there was no economic impact. So I'd like to finish by saying that we really opposes this bill as it's currently written.
Thank you.
My name is Chairman Merlin, members of the committee. My name is Jerry Reitman. I'm a wheat farmer, a fourth-generation wheat farmer from Ione, Oregon. I farm in both Morrow and Gillum County, own land on the Oregon Trail. I actually farm the ground under the Leaning Juniper Wind Project. I farm that ground for Waste Management Corporation. And it's, in my mind, it's been one of the greatest economic improvements in our area. We have people there earning good wage jobs, bringing their families to our little rural towns, and it's renewable. It's going to be there. It's clean. I farm under it. It was very little impact to farm under it. And I just think it's such a wonderful thing. It really represents progress. And I don't understand, if the idea is to preserve, what are we preserving? We're preserving the ideal of progress. That is what the Oregon Trail was all about. And those people picked up and moved west looking for progress. And I think the view and the vista, I look out from my home and I see those wind towers 20 miles from my home, and I think they look great on the vista. Mount Hood's behind it. It tells me there's progress, there's hope in our rural communities. My farming operation is no hope for the future of rural farming. Those of us there are going to shrink, and there's going to be less farmers, and the future is other things. And one of those things may be wind power, maybe it's ethanol production. I don't know what it is, but we have to progress. And to draw a line across the state, part of the state, and say, no progress here, we just have to protect it, is unreasonable. If we want to go out and ask for some sort of easement from landowners and make some designated areas on the Oregon Trail something that can be saved forever, I'm for it. I know farmers and neighbors that would give an easement. There's state-owned property. The military owns property that has a perfect, pristine stretch of the Oregon Trail on it. There are places we could have this. So let's do that. Let's not just stop progress. Let's do something progressive and positive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Gary Thompson. I'm the Sherman County judge. I'm partially responsible for some of this noise going on here today. What the Oregon Trail, this bill will do, will cut our wind farms in half. It'll completely eliminate anything south of that line, imaginary line going across Sherman County, because there are no power lines over or underneath that line. It's very serious because over 50% of the wind farms that are being built in Sherman County are south of that line and are connection point to the. So getting the power out of the county is on the north side of that line. So I've got to oppose this bill. Plus, it's really a taking as far as the farmers are concerned. They've been farming, some of them farmers have been farming for over 100 to 150 years on the same piece of ground. So it's a definite Measure 37 claim. If this should happen, and it's not just a few dollars to move one of those wind turbines, as he was saying earlier, just all you have to do is just move one of the wind turbines. Well, one of those wind turbines is about $125,000 to the individual farmer in just revenue, just in lease revenue. So if just to move one of them, it's going to be more than just one. It's going to be a number of them that are going to have to be moved. So we're talking in the millions of dollars just in Sherman County. I'm not counting Gillum County and Morrill County, where there's some additional wind farms going in. That's a lot of money involved. So we've got to be real careful. This is a very good, feel-good bill, but you got to be careful how good it really feels. So,
Thank you. Any questions?
I'll ask one.
Yes,
Mr. Chair.
Senator McPherson.
Gentlemen, I think everybody on this committee is a strong supporter of the state's effort to develop a strong wind power industry, and you folks are in the sort of the epicenter of that opportunity. Would it meet your needs if we were to protect the Oregon Trail itself, that is, as near as we can tell, just where the pathway went, from not having a tower directly on it, but didn't exempt it any issue of vistas or sight lines, that kind of thing, so that wind towers, as long as they weren't directly on the trail, they would not be, or they would be allowed? Is that a resolution?
I guess I would wonder what this trail is. I mean, I'm concerned, is that a half-mile trail? I mean, across the plains out there, there were ruts upon ruts, if you look and see. So, I mean, I guess if you could narrow that down to a 10-foot swipe and it didn't stop a power line moving through it or a road or access, then maybe you're talking about something. I mean, but I don't see what, you know, to be honest with you, when I first thought about this, here's this trail leading from the border through Oregon to the Dalles. As far as I'm concerned, one every quarter mile, the whole length of it, traveling that trail would be as significant of a sign of a change in progress in Oregon as it would be the original trail. So I mean, that's fine if you want to not plunk one down on the trail, but the truth is, if you're talking about what Oregon is all about and what the trail was all about, a row of those wind towers, the length of it, be better.
No, I think I'm fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
I think, we have one other person. Jerry Bohart is the last person who is over 100 miles.
Well, that was the last person. I was thinking.
Oh, no.
No. We're just, but you can come.
Okay.
She checked. Oh, you're not over 100 miles, is that what you're saying?
No, not over 100 miles.
Okay, we'll start back up the list. You're still going to be up here because I think we're okay. Steve Buckstein. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
David Shaw, and then we'll have Jerry right now.
Hey, Mr. Chair, are we anticipating getting ODOT in here to explain whether or not they've surveyed this and we can define it?
Have not yet. We're only having a hearing today. If we have to, we'll do that in the future. And I do know they were a little concerned. They have shared some concerns with me about repairing rails. But I don't know if they're here. Yes.
Good afternoon, Chair, committee members. I'm Jerry Bohart. I'm the Transportation Development Division Administrator from Oregon Department of Transportation.
There you go.
Well, you know my questions are coming.
I believe I do. I will keep it short. I have provided some written testimony and also a series of maps, and which illustrate the potential conflict points between, for example, Interstate 84 and US 26, as well as we highlighted some potential impacts within the vicinity of the cities of Pendleton, the Dalles, and Sandy. And the statewide map also identifies some rail corridor information and potential areas of conflict. And while it appeared that the intent of the bill was to exempt transportation facilities within the citations that were mentioned in the bill, ORS 215-402 and 227-186, our interpretation indicates that this is not the case. And the agency remains concerned that the bill has unintended consequences of affecting our ability to construct, maintain, and manage a safe and efficient transportation system. Our agency not only issues several types of permits, such as access to highways, signs, rail crossings, etc., but we're also dependent on others, such as local governments and other state agencies, for permits to conduct our business. ODOT believes that this bill, as currently written, would create more complexity and uncertainty in our ability to build and manage the transportation system effectively. And perhaps one possibility is actually to amend the legislation to clearly include the language that's articulated in 215.402.4c, as well as the language in 227.186, which does indicate that the final engineering, design, construction, operation, maintenance, preservation of a transportation facility, which is otherwise authorized by a consistent consistency with the comprehensive plan and land use regulations. So clearly the intent with the citation of that ORS was to allow that flexibility. So, and the maps that were put together for your information is, we actually do not have the official map. That was a map that is a very rough approximation of the Oregon Trail. We did a buffer of the 100-foot within either side, and then overlaid the state information, the state highway information, and the rail information. So we haven't actually registered it scale to scale for accuracy. So there is a potential, talking to our mapping folks, there's potential of about a 50-foot error within the vicinity of this, but it was really just to give you an indication of where the potential conflicts might be. So I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Representative Folkwitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have a survey of the trail? Does ODOT have a survey of the trail?
No, sir, we do not.
Follow-up question, Mr. Chair?
Yep.
As I read the bill, and you're the agency going to get stuck with this, says we're going to use a State Highway Department map, which we have a we have sheet 8 of 10 here, and the Department of Transportation is going to have to validate this map, which means survey it, because we're talking 100 foot left and right, or north and south, or whatever it is. Any estimate of the fiscal to do that?
Chair, committee member, no, we have not done a fiscal on that, but survey work is very expensive.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Of her? Or do we want to wait till they're
on? It's okay.
I was just in looking at these maps. Did these ones, the green, the various green lines, that's all Oregon Trail, according to the key, or is this trying to demonstrate something that maybe I'm not understanding? This is on the Pendleton map. The other ones are just one line. This one's got green lines all over the place.
There are spurs and everything else. It's actually in the statute here.
Oh.
Chair committee member, that's correct. There's first the Oregon Trail, and so these maps actually, I think, are the green is the Oregon Trail. The blue, again, just taking a midpoint, and again, these are just a visualization, is the 100-foot buffer, and then what the red does is illustrate where our state highway system is, where the potential conflict is. It would probably vary when you actually did the surveying on one way or the other, but it does show the amount of conflict that's out there.
Okay. Thank you.
There's a McDonald's right in the middle of that one. I've been to that a bunch of times on my way to Pendleton.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin and members of the committee. My name is Steve Buckstein. I'm senior policy analyst and the founder of Cascade Policy Institute, a Portland think tank. We work on ideas that promote individual liberty, personal responsibility, and economic opportunity, all of which I believe the pioneers who came on the Oregon Trail were looking for. The pioneers, as you know, walked. They didn't ride in the wagons because that would have been too much strain on the horses. They walked, for the most part, 2,000 miles from Missouri to Oregon. And they did that for a better life for themselves and their family. The trail, as you've heard from some of the people who have property on the trail, basically was all about progress, it was about opportunity, and it was about also the right to earn and control their own property once they got here. The idea of the trail, as you stated, Chairman Roblin, I think is more important than the actual physical road or ruts. The pioneers wanted freedom from the very kinds of government regulation that we're here talking about today.
That's why they came. If the intent of the measure of the bill is to preserve important parts of Oregon history, that can be done, again, by preserving the idea, by preserving the ideal. And it can also be done by specifically preserving specific segments, key segments of the trail, maybe parts that already exist, parts that have value for tourists, et cetera. Key sections, not 400 miles of a line across Oregon, as was talked about. So I think if this bill becomes law, as it passed in the Senate, it would be really a dark chapter on the history of the Oregon Trail. It would tell future generations that we turned our backs on some of the very ideals that they came here for, that they traveled the Oregon Trail for. Oregon is still part of America, which is the land of the free, and so I think we need to preserve that idea, the land of the free, and preserve the right of the people who currently live in Oregon, who currently have property on the Oregon Trail, to use that land as they see fit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Roble, members of the committee, my name is David Shaw with the Oregon Rural Electric Cooperative Association. I just want to take a few minutes. I will be brief. We are in support of the intent of the bill, but we have some serious concerns over the actual language of the bill, and we feel that it's probably not the best mechanism by which to achieve its goal. From a utility perspective, we have numerous issues in those areas. We have several co-ops that serve those areas. We're concerned with our current structures, our facilities, all of our pre-planned activities for future construction, the delineation of the trail itself. We have serious concerns about how that's going to occur and what facilities that we currently have might fall into those areas. We would volunteer to work on any work group that you may assemble and provide our time and expertise in those areas. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you. Next we have Ellen, is it Tenek, Roger Roper, and Cindy Robert. Is Cindy still here? I don't see Cindy.
This one.
So I'll tow with Linda Ledwood. Cindy back there? Oh, good job.
Ladies first. Thank you, Chairman Roblin. I'm Ellen Tenek from Sandy, Oregon. We have property in rural Clackamas County where we raise cattle and timber. I'm speaking against this bill because I'm opposed to the inclusion of private lands, and I believe it should include only portions of the trail which are still visible today. The effort to retain the evidence of the trail is commendable. However, to totally restrict the private land for the entire length of the old trail site in the state without regard to visibility or current use constitutes a taking, and it definitely should be avoided. The preservation, as many of the previous speakers have said, should be limited to those portions of the trail that are visible today. I do have a personal connection with the trail because my great-grandparents came to Oregon on the trail in 1851. And my great-great-grandparents followed 2 years later with 12 members of their family. Additionally, I've learned in reading just recently, they took the Barlow Trail portion of the Oregon Trail when they got to the Dalles. I live there. The Barlow Trail passes directly across 160 acres of our property. It would be kind of ironic if the fact that my great-grandparents came to Oregon and walked through my dining room, essentially, would prevent me from ever being able to remodel my 80-year-old farmhouse. I don't think they'd like that. They and all of the others who made this journey did it hoping for a better life. I believe we dishonor their memory and their efforts by using preservation of this route as an excuse to take property rights away from today's living citizens who have bought and paid for the land and continue to pay taxes on it. I thank you for your time, and I hope you'll consider what I've said.
Thank you very much. Cindy?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert, and I'm proud to represent Union Pacific Railroad.
I'm actually really interested to hear all these arguments as to why this is a good or bad thing, because the fact is there's only a few things older than the rail in America, and one of those is the Oregon Trail. So while we may have concerns about the bill, I certainly would never come to you without having done something about them. And with the help of the chair, I did have amendments drafted that are very simple. And let me explain to you why I had amendments drafted. UP has moves 30 million tons of freight rail in and out of Oregon every year. About 65% of that is forest product. In 2006, we spent $62 million in infrastructure upgrades in Oregon, and much of that was on rail crossings. The problem with this piece of legislation is, as you can see, much of our rail, which is the little cross-check one that you can't see very well, but up here intersects with the Oregon Trail. And as such, we have to do a lot of crossing upgrades. And unfortunately, we would not be able to do any crossing upgrades if this legislation went forward as it is. So we've simply put forward some amendments that were assisted by Kelly Taylor at the Rail Division, helped us write them, and they're at LC, and we'll be happy to support them and then support this bill, because I do think it's honorable. I think it's good, and I think there's ways of maybe preserving it without upsetting people. And in that vein, UP, although we like the bill just with our amendments, we are absolutely willing to spend the time, energy, and any other resources you may possibly need to have this move forward in a way that's more acceptable to more people.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Roger Roper, Deputy State Historic Preservation Officer. Our office is part of Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and our department was named in the initial version of the bill and in the engrossed version as well. In the latest version, we are named as the keeper of the map, the 1959 map. And indeed we are, and we have it on our website for folks if they're interested. A couple of clarifications and explanations here. One is, we think it would be helpful to have that as a base map, but to use whatever modern technologies have generated new, more improved, and precise versions of the map as the source of what is the Oregon Trail. There have been dozens of archaeological excavations, or investigations rather, along the trail over the years. There have been high-tech mapping, other things. We think those should become a part of what is defined as the trail and inform everyone as to how best to go about this. And one of our roles as the State Historic Preservation Office is to help local governments, state and federal agencies, and private property owners in preserving what's best of Oregon's heritage. And we play a role as an advisor and a broker, and we have incentive programs and other things to help do that. There are really three ways we try to go about the preservation of historic buildings or trails. There's a regulatory role sometimes. There are incentives, and we think the use of conservation easements and some of the tax benefits they might provide to property owners are something that should be part of the discussion. And then there's simply education, and oftentimes people just don't know any better, and just by educating them, we can avoid some of the inadvertent damage that may come to historic structures. So those are the tools that we have in our mix that can come into play in this sort of endeavor here, and we're very happy to be part of any discussion. And it sounds like there's some valuable ideas and amendments that are being proposed that we'd, again, be happy to help with. We have long experience in working on the federal side of things. There are federal laws where federal agencies have to take into account their activities in terms of cultural resources, such as trails and archaeological sites. So we have a lot of experience working with this, and we'd like to share that expertise with the parties involved here. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just wanted to ask if you knew from your research, the folks who came over the Barlow Trail, is that how people like got to Salem or got to Linn County? Is there a different spur that somebody might have taken?
Some of them maybe. Some of them chose to go continue along on the Columbia River, and some of them chose to take the Barlow Trail route because it was a little bit easier. I did
misspeak myself, incidentally. At this point, the Barlow Trail is not part of it. It's because it stops in the Dalles. I didn't want to leave you with that. But there was two options from the Dalles. It was easier to go the Barlow Road once it was established, I believe, is what my understanding is.
Now, some people got to Salem. They sailed around. So there were other ways to get to Oregon.
Barlow was the furthest of us. There wasn't anything further south that you would come across, like through south.
When they went the Barlow Road, it was called Barlow because of Samuel Barlow. It didn't go to Barlow. It went to Oregon City.
And there is the Applegate Trail down south. People came from California up this way. So there are other ways to get into Oregon.
Chair, a couple questions.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. It's really for the state. The 1959 map, which is in your possession, 10 sections of which, can you give us a distance in miles? How many miles of the trail are there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boquist, I don't know exactly how many miles. It extends from, of course, the Idaho border to the Dalles, and I don't know that it's delineated on that map exactly the precise miles. Mr. Hazlett would probably know that by heart, though.
Follow-up question, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Any in the state's mind, what percentage of that still has ruts or evidence of the trail that's undeveloped or at least preservable?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boquist, there has not been an exhaustive inventory of that. And one of our goals at the state is to start to assemble all of the varied studies that have been done to come up with a more comprehensive body of knowledge about that trail. I would think the Oregon-California Trail Association and others would probably have more precise information in that regard.
Let's call it, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
In the example that you've heard testimony here, we talked about Cecil, Oregon, not to be confused with Clem, Oregon, that doesn't exist anymore.
It's a ghost town.
There are a lot of ghosts these days. In that, you outlined what your agency does. You go in and you identify it, use modern mapping, help to figure out where the trail went to, so on and so forth. Can you give me a little bit of an idea of what you would do in the case of Cecil, what the cost of surveying would be, what would be the expense to the state to identify where the 100 feet is, where it's not at?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boquist, the cost would be very high, I can tell you that. I can't give you a dollar amount, but there are different levels of documentation. There could be a reconnaissance level that would identify in gross the more important segments of the trail that are well known, the important view sheds or things that are mentioned in diaries perhaps. But to really pin that down more would be very labor-intensive and very costly, and there's been no dollar amount put to that.
Mr. Chair, Cindy Robert again, for the record. If I might just add, because Senator Abakian and Senator Atkinson and Representative Bonamici worked so hard on this and had it go clearly through the Senate without any problem, I just wanted to clarify that for those of us who are in automated worlds, whether it's a Capitol on-ramp or one of the other automated systems, it was the change in the word on the Senate side to public bodies that tipped most of us off to this bill. So I don't think it's that that we didn't take it seriously before. I think it wasn't on anyone's radar. So I know it's late in the game. I apologize for that for my colleagues and I who are now coming in trying to amend something. But we have a reason. Not a good one, but a reason.
Appreciate that.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. I mean, we definitely need to do everything we can to preserve those sections of the trail we can identify.
Right.
But for my colleague to my left, I mean, this is a huge fiscal.
Yes.
I mean, we're just identifying and surveying it, and I think we need a lot more information from various state agencies.
And I do think that we can get a work group to go and talk a little bit about it, but I'm not sure that we're going to come out. I mean, my goal would be that we weren't going to spend a whole lot of money, at least this session, because we don't have the time to do those things. So it needs to be something that we get to that doesn't really cost those kinds of dollars. With that, well, thank you. I don't see any more questions. Thanks. Next, we have Linda Ludwig, Harlan Levy, Don Schoenberg. I'm getting close. There's one more panel after this, and we have one more bill, so it looks like we're going to work out about Rick.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. I did testify in the Senate regarding this bill, and I am responsible for the -A3 amendment, which I bring before you today with the support and blessings of Senator Avakian and Senator Atkinson and Representative Bonamici. I did have the pleasure of reviewing all the 10 maps and spent some time doing that because I wanted to know how many cities were impacted. And I will tell you, in the 1959 map, the trail does go from the Dalles, not to Oregon City, all the way to Idaho.
Right.
So from what I could tell, there was the potential for three cities to be impacted. The Dalles, potentially Echo, the small city of Echo, and mostly the city of Pendleton. So what this amendment does, and it's written in a very interesting manner from Legislative Council, but I do agree at the end of the day, once you do read through it, it just does make it explicit that areas within city limits are excluded from the scope of the bill. I've had some late input from the city of Pendleton that indicate that are focusing on obtaining a conditional use permit from the county to add a road that may be impacted yet outside city limits, inside the urban growth boundary. This road is important to them and their economic development connectivity, and would be more than happy to continue to work with anyone that wants to continue to work on the bill. Lastly, I did testify as a citizen in the Senate committee, a longtime resident of Eastern Oregon, a former rancher, and having seen a variety of portions of the trail, both on foot and from the air, testified to the historic value for our state and our nation in trying to do something to retain what little is left of the trail. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, for the record, I am Harlan Levy, representing the Oregon Association of Realtors, here to express our concern about Senate Bill 823A. First, let me say that we do support protecting historical resources such as the Oregon Trail. However, this bill is very broad and goes well beyond what we would see as protecting the trail. I don't want to be too redundant with the testimony you've already heard, so I'm just going to list a couple of things that I don't know that you've heard yet. First of all...
The little sound is, if anybody has a cell phone that's on, it doesn't have to be used. If it's on, it will do that. So, thanks.
First of all, I wanted to note that the bill talks about 100 feet from the trail. That's actually 200 feet because it's both sides of the trail, plus however wide the trail itself is. So that would be an area in which a landowner would not be allowed to obtain a permit. This would probably trigger not only a Measure 37 claim, but also a good old-fashioned takings claim, which would require the government to pay compensation. In addition to that, Measure 56, which was passed by the voters about a decade ago, would require the state of Oregon to notify every single landowner of this new statute. So that would be additional time and expense by the Department of Land Conservation and Development to research the landowners as well as to get the notices out in the mail. Furthermore, opponents of development, NIMBYs, as we call them, would use this bill, we're sure, to prevent, you know, land use applications that were approved, would use it as grounds for appeal and could potentially tie up, you know, significant applications for years. What else can I say? I do want to note that there are other ways to do this, to protect the historic resources of the state, such as the Oregon Trail. I actually served personally on the Clackamas County Historic Review Board for a number of years, and we had the Barlow Road, which goes from Mount Hood into Oregon City, which is the next leg of the road the pioneers used to stake their claim in Oregon. And we had certain regulations that required landowners to mitigate impacts to that road, and we, you know, worked with landowners on several different occasions to have different types of markings and different types of identification, and it was a very collaborative process. It was not a process whereby we just prohibited people from using the property because it happened to be located on that road. So there are other options out there for you to consider, and I would note that we would be happy to participate with a work group or an interim task force, whatever it is the desire of this committee to do with this bill, we'd be happy to participate. And with that, I will conclude my testimony.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Don Schellenberg, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. Here today, in opposition to the bill as it comes to you, recognizing that there are proposed changes and the changes could be made that would improve the bill. There isn't any question but what the Oregon Trail is a very important part of Oregon's history, and certainly one that needs to be protected and preserved, and that ought to occupy the hearts and minds of Oregonians today. I don't have any connection to the Oregon Trail. What I do have, though, I am chair of the Oregon Century Farm and Ranch Committee that annually recognizes those who have been on the same farm and ranch for 100 years or more, and this next year we'll be doing the sesquicentennial, 150 years, beginning to recognize those at 150 years. So I, too, am interested in the historical aspect of this. But Senate Bill 823 really kind of brings everything to a standstill, in our view, and I've heard others mention too. You got a house, you got a barn, you got a feedlot, you got a machine shed, whatever it is. If it's within 100 feet, you couldn't make any changes to it. Doesn't seem quite reasonable. When the Senate considered the bill on the Senate floor, I happened to be in the gallery, and Senator Whitsitt asked the question: is there any provision for compensation? And the answer was, well, no, there isn't anything in here about that. I don't know what they thought was going to take care of that, but but in our view, that would be a pretty major oversight in the bill. The bill uses the terms development, construction, remodel, but none of those are defined in the bill, and so it would seem that there would be need to be some definitions in the bill. Benjamin Bonneville led the first wagon train in the 1830s on the Oregon Trail, and then by the 40s, then it became quite well traveled. But our question too was, everybody didn't use exactly the same rut all the time. So which trail are we talking about? One, some, or all of them? When we talk about the Oregon Trail, so while it's laudable, it would seem that we ought to take more time in doing this, and Farm Bureau would recommend that this be reconsidered at the 09 legislative session, and unlike Mr. Levy and others, I will not volunteer to serve on this committee. I'd like to make one correction to my testimony that I gave to you. It has the incorrect date on it. Today is May 22nd, not April 24th. I apologize for that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Linda. Why would the cities be exempt?
Because I don't believe that there is any. I believe that inside city limits, all portions of the trail have been actually built over at this point in time.
And do you have anything to back that up, or
just my review of the maps and knowing the boundaries of those cities today and what I could see?
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a question, Representative? Linda may know this. I may not. Did the counties, the county association, are they testifying, or did they?
I haven't seen them. I don't see that. Yeah.
Was there any consultation between the cities and counties in regard to this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boquist, there hasn't been consultation between us. Association of Oregon Game Counties did testify in the Senate committee in support of the bill as it stood, with the knowledge that we would be bringing forward an amendment to take out incorporated areas.
Okay.
I want them on record here. I could see
probably why they're not here. Thank you very much. Jim Welsh, Brenda McCarty, and Jenna Swearingen.
Hi, Jenna.
Yeah, a very, very, you know, handsome replacement.
Yeah, thank you. Talk about your audition.
Chair Roblin, Jim Welsh, representing the Oregon Cattlemen Association. We feel the Oregon Trail is very possibly a treasure, but at least an important piece of our history. We can ask private property owners to preserve the trail to in their own manner, but we should not mandate that. Not supportive of this bill as it is written. The mandate would require compensation, as you've heard. We firmly believe that, and compensation would be costly, to say the least. Also, it brings into question in a state that is already 60% public land, how much more do we need? And how much more removed from the tax rolls? So we're not supportive at this time.
Thank you.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Brendan McCarthy. I'm here representing Portland General Electric today, and I believe it is my company's windmills that have started the whole problem. all humor aside, Senator Atkinson's correct when he said there's no interest on the part of PGE to pave over any part of the Oregon Trail. We work very hard to ensure that things of historical value are maintained when we put in our facilities. We go through quite an extensive siting process and FSEC siting process. And there are site certificates out there that actually do specifically have conditions saying that if you have a visible portion of the trail, that you should do everything to minimize damage to the trail, that you can contact SHPO and work with other parties to ensure that no damage is done to the trail. In the past week or so, I've had many conversations with my other utility brethren, and we've worked up a few problems that we see with the bill, specifically that we have utility lines that cross the trail both over and under. It's not clear whether those would be prohibited under this the way the bill is currently worded. Each windmill tower that's built that crosses in a line of windmill towers has a collector cable, and it either runs underground or overground. There is a map of Bigelow Canyon and material you received from another person who testified, and you can actually see the wind corridors across the trail. There are a number of them. That would be one concern. Another concern would be utility lines that run parallel to the trail, where the trail may actually have predated a road that now exists in the same spot. There would be a utility right of way. There may be utility lines running parallel to the trail, certainly within 100 feet of the trail, causing no damage to the trail. And then specificity would be another problem. We can shift the sites of particular utility infrastructure, but we need to know where that is. The 1959 map is a good guide. We could use it as a general guide, but we would love to see some sort of reference to a plat map or some sort of thing that a surveyor could use to make sure that we're not within that, whatever boundary we choose. And I will volunteer. We're happy to work on amendments. The utilities did discuss a number of amendments that would probably take care of all our concerns, and we'd be happy to work with the committee this session or in the interim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association. Just want to second a few things I suspect you've already heard. Our interest in this bill, albeit belated like a number of folks, involves the impact that might occur to inside of urban growth boundaries where development's already been slated for occurrence. I understand there's an amendment that would be take out incorporate limits of cities. If this bill is worked, we would ask for an amendment to expand that protection to urban growth boundaries, not simply the city limits. Otherwise, I think you could wreak some havoc with existing land use plans. The second concern I have is just outside of those areas in developed where development has occurred, be it residential, commercial, agricultural, or others, as I'm sure others have testified, the potential for creating non-conforming uses and all the trauma that can come from that in case of a reconstruction, a rebuild, anything of that sort, ought to be addressed in the bill. Otherwise, you're going to have unintended consequences downstream. The other concern, obviously, many of you are far more familiar with the provisions of what was that ballot measure or something, 7. This obviously would have some impact under a Measure 37 analysis, potentially, regardless of how the voters might act on the next election. That should be taken into account as the bill is considered. We'd happily help. I'd cheerfully volunteer Mr. Levy to serve on any task force that might be established. And I do want to take one issue, Mr. Chairman, something Mr. Schellenberg said in his testimony. I hate to do this, but I believe he was incorrect. He said he had no connection to the Oregon Trail. I believe he came out here on it, but that I may be wrong. Glad to take any questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that concludes the testimony for this bill, and I did get an affirmative. I'm shocked that our leading land use, what would I call him, our land use expert who in running subcommittees, our work groups, that he'd be willing to do that. I guess what I would tell you is that from my perspective, hearing all the testimony, I would hope if you were willing to work with some people, come up with some ideas. I don't think, hearing all that we have time to get to there. But we might get some ideas that can go forward for something to happen during the interim, because I think that's really what we're going to need. But if you'd be willing, Representative Boquist, to try to get with some of those people to narrow that down so we know the kind of focus. And if there is an agreement with everybody, I was surprised how much of an agreement you got on the annexation issues.
It took weeks, if not months.
I know. Yeah, it took
seven
a long
days.
Time. Yeah.
Come on.
And so
Beth has 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't see that necessarily miracle happening, but I would love to see if you could do that. And we can have people get a hold of Beth if they're interested in being a part of that, and we'll go from there. And Representative Clem, before we close this hearing.
I just want to say, I think it would be totally appropriate for the, what's it called, sesquicentennial in 2 years from now. That would be a completely appropriate time if you had something. And I would like to second the comments from gentleman, the fourth generation weed grower, talked about the voluntary or conservation easement style approach to something like this, because I got to go figure out whether they branched off at Barlow or not. But Thomas Jefferson Clem came here in 1850 somehow. And I would, I again would be suspicious that he would be in favor of this bill as is at this point.
Okay. Thank you all, and we're going to close our public hearing on Senate bill. We have one more we're going to hear today. Real quickly. It shouldn't take long. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, I'll keep in mind.
In an ox cart, you came along here.
So we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 134. And so we'll hear a short explanation. This is just the work session. We began this bill before, so with that.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Senate Bill 134A authorizes the Veterinary Medical Examining Board to inspect the premises of a veterinary facility and order examinations when the board has evidence indicating incapacity of an applicant or licensee to practice vet medicine safely. We did have a hearing on this bill on May 1st. There's no revenue impact, no fiscal impact.
Okay. With that, we will call up to speak. Oh, it is a work session, but I did want to hear from our people who were not here last time to testify. So, were you? No, you guys were here.
Yeah.
Do we need to hear any? Anybody need any?
No, I wanted.
We haven't made a motion.
You're okay.
Yet.
Yes.
I wanted to explain.
Okay.
Because I asked.
Let me take a motion first.
You need a motion first. And do you want the motion just?
The regular motion.
Okay. I move Senate Bill 134A to the floor with a due process recommendation.
Okay. We have a motion from Representative Smith to move Senate Bill 134A to the floor with a due process recommendation. Okay, with that discussion. Representative Maurer.
Mr. Chair, we had a conversation a while ago, and there was an amendment proposed by the Board of Administrative Law. Is it a board?
Yeah.
Anyway. And this issue has been dealt with in Health Care Committee at length, and
right.
So I had some crossover, and apparently there are some issues with this amendment. And so the amendment, which was the dash A2s, I will not submit,
okay.
And I am now supportive of the bill as it reads.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just to elaborate on what Representative Maurer was saying, what I have understood is that the Dash A 2 amendments, they were brought forth by actually a constituent of mine who appeared when we held a public hearing on this, but I have been told that they do not represent a position of the administrative law section of the Oregon State Bar. Right. And I was hoping somebody from the bar would be here to affirm that.
We have someone who represents part of
Not the bar.
I represent the association.
Okay.
This is the association,
I was hoping to get confirmation of that, but it is my understanding that they're not a position of the administrative law section, and on that basis, then I'm not going to offer up that amendment. I think that the bill, I will support the bill as it came over from the Senate.
That was a member. That was a representative. Okay. If I may, I did have a conversation with a member of that board, and they have pulled that amendment off the table.
Somebody, a representative of the Oregon State Bar, is what you're saying.
Yeah, of the admin section of the Oregon State Bar.
Right, and that was just consistent with what I've been told. I was hoping to get confirmation of that because I have a constituent who presented this amendment to us with great vigor when we heard public hearing, but it's my understanding that that's an individual presentation at this point and not a position of the bar, and on that basis I will support the bill as it came to us from the Senate.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, thank you. Could we have a roll call vote?
Representative
Clem? Aye.
Representative
Binko?
Aye.
Representative
Nicholson?
Aye.
Representative
Mauer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Chair
Robles? Aye. Motion passes. Who would like to...
I'll make a motion. We put it on the consent calendar.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we put it on the consent calendar. Right? Anybody opposing that?
Okay.
Seeing none, so be it. Any other discussion? We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 134. Is there any discussion for the committee? I do want to note we have set for a dinner gathering of our committee on June 7th, and after whatever happens in the floor that day, and we'll get maps out to people and hope everybody can attend. With that, we'll close our Ag and Natural Resources Committee.